going through this several weeks, really, and we started in verse 1, and we've made our way, and we've been doing a verse on a Wednesday night is all. We looked at 15 different characteristics of love, and then we came to verse 8 last week, and we talked about charity never fails, and we talked about the rest of the verse as well. Now, this evening, I want to draw your attention to verse 9. This has actually been a true expository study of these particular verses. It's been basically no more than a verse a week. Verse 9 will be the same way. It's the only verse we're going to cover tonight. For he said, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Now that is an interesting verse in the context of the love chapter. It's kind of interesting that he says, for we know in part. The advancements being made today in the world through learning and education and knowledge, they're rather amazing. There are improvements in technology that, you know, however long ago, it would have been unthinkable. Remember several years ago, who knows when the Wright brothers invented the airplane and learned how to fly? Anybody? I don't know when it was. Now we have airplanes, that's just to think to get an airplane in the sky. Now we have airplanes that can fly without a pilot. That's amazing technology. The young people in the co-op, the phones used to be attached to the wall. Their jaw drops when I tell them that. Now you can talk on your telephone through your car screen. I mean, the technology is something. More information leading to increased knowledge seems to be progressing more rapidly today than any other time in world history. Now, it is another one of those things that is a sign that we are in the end times. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. So it is the end times. Many shall run to and fro, and he says, and knowledge shall be increased. And it seems like knowledge is being increased at a very rapid rate. We talked about it this morning, but last week one day I went over to Tony and Amy's, and Tony was showing me these videos on YouTube of all these robots. These things are amazing. They had robots that can do backflips. And then he showed me one. What's that girl's name on the telephone? Siri? Sarah? Siri. And she's talking to the other robot called Sophia. And Siri is asking this robot questions. Have you seen it, Gina? That's a little on the scary side. You know what it reminds you of? The Terminators. And the last thing she said, whatever the question was Siri asked her, she says, well, we'd like to take over the world. And it's like, whoa, this is kind of freaking me out a little bit. Have any of you seen it? I know Amanda has. You saw it. And Gina has, and I have it. Anybody else? Amanda? I don't do that. I would have never seen it except Tony showed it to me. And then he was showing me these robots, and they're made for the military guys. And they look like robotic dogs, and they load them up with all their gear. And then the military guys will be able to march through the jungles and through the woods and across lands and not get so tired and carry all the weight because they have the robots doing it for them. And some of those things could go like through terrain that you would never imagine they could go through. I'm just saying the technology today, and we don't even know the half of it. The technology today is absolutely something. But with that said, with all that knowledge, we still only know in part. That's what it says. Now, the analogy of Paul, and this is very interesting, so try to pay attention. The analogy of Paul in the love chapter is really a picture of a traveler expanding his horizons as he walks through life. Now, the church at Corinth, they would have understood that. Recognizing the limits of what we can know and what we can say should motivate us to live with greater charity. In other words, expand our charity that we have. So he says a word in here that I want you to look at again. He said, for we know in part. Now, with that word, in part, in Greek it's one word, it's a real estate term, and it refers to a certain section or allotment of a piece of land, a word that they would use for a piece of property that sometimes might get them somebody an inheritance. Now, the picture is that this one little piece of land is all that this person knows when they begin. But as they grow, and as they learn, and as they get experience, their world expands. Now, let me just give you a simple illustration. A baby comes into church, they go to the nursery. All they know in this church property is the nursery. That's all they know. They come in, they go to the nursery. They go home, they come in, they go to the nursery, they go home. And when they hit about, up crawling a ways, the nursery is not where they want to go. Sometimes they give a powwow to go in there, but they need to go in there. But then they start to expand their horizon. And then they find the gym. And they walk in the door, and they could care less about that nursery. They're headed to the gym. When church is over, they want to go to the gym. They've expanded their horizon, you could say that, so to speak. Now, look at Matthew chapter 2 for a moment. They learn new things. We acquire a new perspective. We will never know it all, but we are to keep learning more and more with the prophesying. And then, of course, they go from the gym and they'll start going to all the Sunday school classes, and eventually they come in here. The same word is used in Matthew 2:22. It says, "But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned," you see the word aside? That's the same word, "into the parts of Galilee." Now the growth process is being compared to somebody expanding their knowledge and understanding by traveling to new places and learning new cultures. Our lives, in a lot of ways, are like that. It's God's desire and God's plan that we know him more. We learn more about him. The more our burden, the other word in Corinthians I didn't mention, prophesying, the more our burden is to communicate the gospel to others. The more our love grows for other people, the more we want to get the gospel to other people. Now, in real life, as an infant, we're limited. But as we grow, we expand. As a child, when I was a young boy, we never took a family vacation. It was just not something we did. Except there was a few times when we went with Dad. Opening day of trout season and opening day of walleye season, we did not have to go to school. He took us fishing. Opening day of southern deer shotgun season, we never went to school. It should have been a national holiday as far as we were concerned. Nobody went to school that day, at least the guys I grew up with. Nobody ever went to school. We went hunting. But that's about as far as we ever went. I mean, we might have went as far as Norwich and up north, maybe as far as Ohio. Not that far from here, either one of them. And that's about it. Then, when I went to Bible college for the very first time, I left New York State. I went to the state of Ohio. That's all that I'd been. Now, since then, I've been in a few foreign countries. We went to Canada. When our boys played hockey, we put several miles on. When you figure skated, we put several miles on. Then I went to Peru on a mission trip. I've been to Israel twice. Chris and I went to Italy. They were different. Canada wasn't different, but the other countries were different. Now, I can't say that I like to travel. But God does want us to be growing and see the needs of the world today. Because we are pilgrims on a journey in this life. Remember Steve Green used to sing a song along those lines? We are headed for eternity with Jesus. But right now, you and I are in this place, and we have an opportunity to know in part. We can't know everything, but we can know in part. We can expand our horizons. We can communicate the truth of the gospel to those around us who are lost. We may not do it perfectly, but we should strive to improve our ability to reach out to others, to grow in charity. Life journey is a teacher. It is an opportunity to increase our knowledge. Every person, every problem, every unexpected turn can hold a lesson waiting to be learned, and the lessons that we learn prepare us and equip us to serve God more effectively as we expand. Are you following the analogy here? Too many Christians are too content to live in a restricted world. We ought not to be satisfied in the cradle of the nursery or confined to a car seat when the world around us needs to hear the word of God. God brings them so that we can meet the needs of others through God's agape love and his grace. Now, the life of Joseph that we read a little bit about in Genesis chapter 50 is quite an illustration of this principle. Joseph was in tune with God. He was trying to stay in tune with God, and he stayed in tune with God all of his life. And as a result, when things went wrong, when his father unfairly favored him above his brothers, when they sold him into slavery, when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of attempted rape, and then he was put into prison, and then the guy in prison forgot about him, he just kept trusting God. And he just kept learning valuable lessons that prepared him and equipped him to fulfill God's purpose for his life. Now, all of those things, in a very real way, expanded Joseph's horizons. You see, God allowed Joseph to experience those trials and experience some of those things those people did to him because God had a bigger plan for Joseph. And finally, he said, and we'll go back to Genesis, or maybe you're still there, but in Genesis chapter 50, do you remember what he said? Some people call Genesis chapter 50 in verse 20, well, I can quote it, "But as for you, he thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now, if we looked at our problems that way, that God has a plan in this, some people say Genesis 50, 20 is the Romans 8, 28 of the Old Testament. But if we look at our problems that way, God, like Joseph did, God uses problems in our lives. We need to remember God has a bigger plan for our lives. Joseph did not know it at first. But as he began to expand his horizons, and as he began to learn and develop, he began to understand God is working a mighty work here. Now, I'll bet you when his brother sold him into slavery, that wasn't the first thought that came to his mind. And I'll bet you when he was lied about and put into prison, it wasn't the second thought that came into his mind either. But after a while, Joseph, he knew in part, but then he began to grow and learn more and more and more. And if we look at our problems that way, that God can use our problems in our lives, we need to remember he's working a bigger plan. And everything is working together to prepare us and to equip us for that plan. I think it was God's will that his brothers put him into sold him into slavery. I think it was God's will that he ended up in Potiphar's house. I think it was God's will that he ended up in prison. I think it was God's will that he was exalted to second in command. And it was God's plan and part of God's purpose to bring the children of Israel into Egypt. And who did God use to get them there? Joseph. Joseph could look back and see, oh yeah, look at how God worked. And then he was able to tell his brothers, don't you worry about it. You'll be forgiven. God was working bigger plan. Now, it was God's will for Joseph. Can I tell you something? Never waste a setback. Never waste a failure. Never waste a disappointment. Never waste a change when something in your life is radical. There's another guy that we know, and that's David. David became a great leader and the king of Israel. He had served his father for years as a shepherd. Now, I want you to think about something. Had Joseph not served his father as a shepherd, would we even know his name? Would we know his name if he didn't serve under Saul, under the tremendous pressure that Saul put on him as Saul tried to kill him? What did keeping sheep teach him? Well, he knew this. He knew a bear came one day, and he whooped up on the bear. He knew a lion came, and he whooped up on the lion. So now he's learning in part, but now he's got a little bit more knowledge. And when he goes to his brothers, and then nobody wants to fight Goliath, and then they say, he goes in to see Saul. And he says, I'll fight that giant. He said, is there not a cause? He said, look it. God gave me victory over the bear, God gave me victory over the lion, and God can give me victory over this giant. And then he even said, the battle's not my battle anyway. The battle is the Lord's. Now, would we have known about David, or would David have been that guy had he not experienced all of those things in his life? They were men who knew in part, but they continued to grow in knowledge of the Lord. Now, here's another truth. Since we only know in part, we really ought to focus on knowing what that is which is important above everything else. Now, a lot of us, I went to college with a guy. This is Bible college. His name was Carmen something. He knew every statistic about everybody that ever played baseball ever. I mean, he just knew everything about baseball and every player. He was a baseball fanatic. He could tell you their batting average for life. He could tell you the number of home runs they hit. You couldn't ask him, it didn't seem like a baseball question that he did not know the answer of. It was rather amazing to me. But I remember taking a test one day, and his pencil never moved. And I had studied with him. We always studied together in college. We never hardly ever studied alone. But I'd studied with him. He knew all the material. But when he sat down to take that test, his pencil never wiggled. He never filled in one answer. That was kind of an odd thing, that he could know all those facts about baseball. When it came time to take a test about something that was really important, he could not put one answer on a piece of paper that day. Now, normally he did okay, but that day he couldn't do it. God and the things of God are what's most important. Knowing him, and in this chapter in 1 Corinthians, knowing him and showing agape love to other. No man is born with skills needed to lead a family. No man is qualified to pastor a church and serve the Lord in that way. He's got to observe and learn and focus and study so he can be the husband and the father, or she can be the mom and the wife that God wants her to be. God has put us here to love and serve him and help to meet the needs of others. That's our life work. And when we seek to know the things that are eternal and everlasting, we will be motivated strongly to a life of charitable living. That's what 1 Corinthians has been all about. You use your knowledge to help others learn to cook if they need to learn to cook. You use your knowledge to help people, this isn't very much of a trade today, but to sew if they need to learn to trade. You teach people to repair things if they need to learn how to repair things. When I lived closer down the road here with our co-op we had here, or the homeschoolers, I had a homeschoolers mechanic class at my house every Friday. I'd bring the boys over, they'd come over, their moms would bring them and drop them off in the garage, and we did all kinds of things. What's the first thing that can break down on a car if you're driving down the road? A flat tire. So I said, all right, boys, the first thing you're going to learn how to do is change flat. So they looked at me and they said, can we use your air tools? I said, do you have air tools on the side of a road? Well, no. Well, then no, you can't. So get the jack out, how to jack up a car, loosen the lug nuts first, jack it up, pull the tire off, set it on, set the lug nuts down as tight as you can get them, drop it down and tighten them all up again. Change the oil, change the 100 wheel bearings. I'll tell you, GM has never learned how to make a good wheel bearing, I don't think. Man, I changed a lot of GM wheel bearings. But they didn't know. Then those boys, some of them became snowmobile riders like me. They work on their own stuff. They wrench on all that stuff. You teach them how to do things, whatever it is. We are to take what we know in part and use that knowledge to help others. Henry Drummond said, I have several quotes I want to give you. He said, you will find as you look back on your life that the moments that stand out are the moments when you have done things for others. Henry David Thoreau said, goodness is the only investment that never fails. Albert Hubbard said, down in their hearts, wise men know this to be true, that the only way to help yourself is to help others. Charles Kingsley said, make it a rule never to lie down without being able to say that I have made one person being a little wiser, a little happier, and their life a little bit better today. Calvin Coolidge, I think everybody recognizes his name, said, no man has ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave. The purpose of knowledge is that we might become more charitable in our living and in our giving. And our world needs those who have the answers. You know, the world is very confused today. Our culture has really changed. I mean, really changed. Brother Bob Hullabaugh and I were talking about this one day, but I won't tell him how old you are, Bob. But Bob remembers when they read the Bible on this over the loudspeaker in school. Now the Bible in a lot of schools isn't even allowed. We all grew up with the Bible being read in school, and prayer, somewhere in elementary school that quit in our school when I was young. But in our culture has changed. And people need other people that have the real answers. So you and I must intelligently and compassionately and scripturally communicate the truths of God's word, that's the prophesying part, the Bible, to the lost and dying worlds. And may our knowledge in part and our prophecy in part be mixed with generosity and charity so that we may help build Christ's church right here where we live. So that's a neat principle. We know in part, we prophesy in part. But as we grow and as we expand our knowledge, we are able to live charitable to others, to help others with the truths of God's word. And can I remind you one more time? That's your life work. That's my life work. That's what all of us are supposed to be doing. I met with a family. I had quite an interesting morning. But I met with a family today. They stopped. They just popped in. Sometimes they do that. And they were interested in the RU ministry. They said they'd be here Friday night. But they want to know what it is. And so I tell them it's a Christ-centered addiction program. It's based on the Bible. They've never been in church, the mom or the son. She knows there's a God, and that is about the limit to her knowledge. Maybe that's it. They've never read a Bible. I mean, you know, sometimes when people are young, their parents take them to a church, some. But maybe twice in their life is what they can remember, maybe. So they don't have any knowledge. And you know what they need? They need people that have knowledge. Right now, we would say we know in part. They'd almost have to say biblically, they don't know anything. But that's okay. I was that way when I got saved for the most part. I didn't know nothing. But God grows you and God matures you. And those kind of people, they need people that have the answers, who will lovingly sit down with them and help them and teach them and instruct them. And I would pray in Jesus' name that you'd be that person, that you'd go out there compassionately with agape love, share the good news with others, and help others grow in the Lord. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would allow you to grow us, that we would focus mostly on the things that are of eternal value, that you would use us to win lost people, and lovingly and compassionately take the time, because our culture is so different, to take the time and to witness to them and to share the gospel with them and to share the truth of Scripture with them. Even though we only know in part now, we can keep knowing and keep learning and keep growing and keep maturing and keep learning, and we can help others. We can live a charitable life. And so while we've already looked at the characteristics of the love, we need to live it out in the everyday affairs and communications and relationships that we involve ourselves in. God, help us. Anoint us, teach us, grow us, mature us, and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me grab a couple of missionary letters here.